and didn't pick up. I must have got the other half of it. And I found out as you get older, it's not as easy to get off as it is to get on. So maybe one day I'll get this thing off. But until then, I'll just do what I can. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of 2 Kings. And we'll begin reading in chapter number 2. The book of 2 Kings in chapter number 2. I'm thankful tonight we've got a Holy Ghost-filled church. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted, church, what we have here. We need each other. Thank God for the fellowship with the Holy Ghost and with the Savior and with God Himself. We thank God for fellowship with the brethren. Where will we be without the brethren tonight? I'm glad I can cast my cares upon the Lord, but I'm also glad I've got some brothers that will help me pray and some brothers that will help me get through some things. You see, we're all going to go through things in life, and it can be handled in different ways and different forms and different fashions. But I thank God, not only He goes with me, Jesus Himself, because He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me, but I'm glad I got some brothers that will walk through it with me as well. I thank Him for this church. I thank Him for my pastor tonight, my assistant pastor. I thank Him for Brother Jason and working with our teenagers tonight. Let's begin reading in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elisha said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And as Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets were at Bethel, came forth to Elijah, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he hath said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse number 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. They too went on. Verse number 8. It says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse number 11, it says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted from them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elijah went over. I want to teach on this subject tonight. What will you do when the mantle falls on you? What will you do when the mantle falls on you? See, there's a call to salvation, and that call went out this morning. Thank God for a pastor that will still preach on the old gospel salvation, the blood. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're not going by Jesus, you'll come as a thief and as a robber. You'll only go by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a call to salvation. And every man, woman, boy, girl, no matter what age, no matter what race, no matter what color they are, let me tell you what, they have a call to salvation. If you're here under the sound of my voice tonight, you should be saved. And you can be saved. And God died for you. And He died for everybody. And He died for the whole world. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. And He died for the sins of every man and woman, boy, girl that will ever walk on the face of this earth, because He loved them enough to go to Calvary. A call to salvation. But I'm going to show you a second call tonight. It's a call to service. You see, Elijah had a little young preacher boy up underneath him called Elijah. And he had a call to service. And Elijah would throw his mantle on him and cast it upon him, as the Bible said. And what will you do when the mantle falls on you? You see, there's mantles falling off preachers day by day. There's mantles falling off servants of God day by day. Before I was called to preach, I remember this. I was growing up and I was going out to Arkansas to visit my wife. And I wasn't called to preach at the time. I wasn't a deacon in the church. I wasn't anything like that. I wanted to serve God. But they looked at me and they kind of cast their nose down on me. My wife was a preacher's daughter. You know, and since I wasn't called to preach, they kind of looked down at me and said, "Well, what are you going to do for the Lord?" Well, I was doing all they was doing, all I knew to do. I was serving the God. I was witnesses. I was doing everything they was doing. But just didn't have that call in my life. Later on, them not knowing, later on, the call would come to me. This call would come to Elijah from his daddy preacher called Elijah. It's a call to service. What will you do when the mantle falls on you? You say, what does that mantle represent? You see, that mantle was a sign. It was a call. It was not only that, it was the authority of God placed on a man of God. You see, we're here tonight, and God has showed us great favor at this church. He showed us great favor because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's also showed us great favor through a great pastor and a great assistant pastor and great people in this place. You see, God has blessed us because people have taken up an old mantle. It may be an old grandmama. It may be an old granddaddy. It may be an old daddy that was down on his knees praying and his mantle's going on. He's going off in the whirlwind. He's going off to heaven like Elijah saw Elijah go off into heaven. And he said, I'll pick up that mantle and take it to another generation. You see, there's a generation downstairs that needs a mantle. They need somebody that'll preach to them. They need somebody to tell them that's only by the blood and that's the only way in. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine is what Paul would tell Timothy. Thank God we have a church that's founded upon doctrine. You say, what is doctrine? It's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's the fundamental doctrine of the faith? It's going to heaven by the blood of Jesus. And that is the only way. I want to say four things tonight about Elijah and what he did. He found that mantle. I want to say, first of all, he followed the man of God. He followed the man of God. And a church that will not follow their pastor will never go anywhere. They'll go nowhere. Moses, when he led the children of Israel to the Red Sea, he didn't take a vote. He didn't even look at them and say, do you think we're even going to make it? I think all they did was get down on his knees and say, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I know I got these people behind me. And he said, they may be murmuring, they may be complaining, they may be doing everything outside of the will of God for their life. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to listen to you, and I'm going to try to lead. As you lead me, I'll lead your people. We've got a man of God right here that's doing the same thing. As God speaks to him, he'll speak to us. And if he's called him to do it, he's called us to do it. He followed his man of God. It's very interesting to the places that he called. I want to say, first of all, he followed him because Elijah had the right pass. He had the right pass. Look back in our text that we were reading. Look down in verse number 2. It said, Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. You say, what is Bethel? Bethel is the house of bread. You know where we're at tonight? We're at our Bethel. We're at a house of bread. We're in a place where we can be fed from the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has a lot to offer. It has more than I've got to offer. I have nothing to offer, but the Word of God has everything to offer. And you know where you're going to hear that at? You're going to hear it at the house of bread at your Bethel. And there's no other place than you can be at that's better than your Bethel. I found that out. If I'm ever way out preaching or somewhere like that and I get the opportunity, there's nothing like this Bethel that we have here. And you say, well, what's going on at the other Bethels? It really doesn't concern me that much. I'm interested in what's going on at this Bethel. It's a house of bread. It's a place where we can be fed. Not only did he take him to Bethel, I want to say he took him down to, look in verse number 4, he took him down to Jericho. He said, and Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Jericho is an interesting place. Jericho was always a place of battles. A life of battles. You remember Joshua when he marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down? Some of y'all learned that when y'all was little boys and girls. And I learned it when I was a little boy and a little girl. A little boy. I don't want y'all to get confused about that. But life battles. Let me tell you what, there's some battles that man and this man right here is going to face that we know nothing about. Every time he mounts his pulpit, every time he preaches, you know what jumps on him? There's 400 church devils waiting to jump on him. And when he looks at you strange and you don't think he loves you, let me tell you what it is, the devil messing with his head. I heard one man say this. He said, it's all right for a preacher's wife to lie. You say, what's up with that? You see, because every preacher, when he gets done, when he gets out in his car, and he looks over at his wife, he says, hon, how did I do? And it's all right for a preacher's wife to lie every once in a while. You know what it is? Some guy said, you know what a lie is? He said, it's ever-present help in a time of need. It's all right to tell him he did okay, because there's 400 devils that'll jump on you when you get off of this. And let me tell you what, life's battles. This man and this man's fighting a battle for us each and every day that we know nothing about. Moses went out to fight the Amalekites. Didn't know if he was going to win or not. And every time Moses was raising his hands up, he noticed they was winning in the battle. And every time when his hands got tired and his hands fell down, you know what? They began to lose in the battle. But they sent two men in there, Aaron and Hur. And the Bible said they got up underneath his arms. And every time his arms were tired, those two men will get up underneath him. Would there be anybody at Liberty Baptist Church will get under these men of God and hold their hands up for just a little while? And while they do, we'll prevail in the battle. When we're down at our Jericho, we get up underneath our man of God and push up on his arms. Let me tell you this. When you get up underneath the man's arms, you know what you're going to figure out? You're going to figure out he's made of flesh. These two men are made of flesh. Let me tell you what. There's some help that we can give them. We can get underneath their arms. Let me tell you that. I thank God for two men of God that we've got here. I thank you for my pastor. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm indebted to a man. I didn't get saved in this ministry, but I learned most of my things I know today because of this ministry right here, because of what's been taught from this pulpit by this man. And what's been taught by this man. And I can tell you this. I remember when I was thinking about this the other day. the church, when I first started here, I began to reminisce. And I remember when it was just the downstairs, and the downstairs was totally open. And I remember Brother Tim was my Sunday school teacher. And we used to go up in the old library up here. And there'd be a handful of us up there meeting. I thank Brother Tim for studying to teach our Sunday school class. Now I began to think about that. And I said, well, I remember Brother Kevin Brown. He was my first Sunday school teacher back at my old church. And I remember Brother Kevin teaching me in Sunday school. And I didn't know anything. I remember when they said, turn over the book of 1 John. And I didn't even know there was a 1 John in the Bible. And I just turned over there. And I watched those other kids. And they thought they was in some kind of competition with me because I was older. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. Let me tell you what Elijah did. He followed his man of God. He didn't care. He said, Elijah done told him, and I ain't going to say this is popular. Elijah told him, said, don't go where I go. He said, tarry there. He said, when you get in life's battles, he said, I think old Elijah said this. He said, wherever my man of God's going, that's where I'll be. It don't matter what he's facing. It don't matter what he's doing. It don't matter if he's at the house of down at his Bethel, at the house of bread. It don't matter if he's down at Jericho in a battle. I'm going to be there with him. There's a third place he went. Look on down. It said that he went through not only to Bethel, he went to Jericho. He also went to Jordan, found in verse number 6. And it said, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. He had the right path. You see, Elijah was fixing to get taken up by a whirlwind. He was fixing to cross over to the other side. You see, there's been two men that's been on the face of this earth that did not face death. And there was one by the name of Enoch. The Bible said he was translated. The Bible said he took him out of this walk of life. He didn't die. The second man was this guy right here, Elijah. He said he was taken out of here by a whirlwind. Let me tell you what Jordan is. It's life's burials. There's some things that you're going to face down in your when you go through the house of bread and you get through the battles that life is going to face. Let me tell you, there's some burials you're going to have to let go of. There's some things you're going to need to bury. I remember Brother LaVon, I think he preached this message, the junkyard at Jordan. There's some things we're going to bury there at Jordan. Let me tell you, when we cross that river, we get to the other side. I'm glad there was somebody that went ahead of me. They said, there's some things I owe some men. There's some things I owe them as a preacher that stood in this pulpit and they preached across this land and preached across America, and I owe those men to run a good race because they did it. And I can look at them and how they face things in life and how they handle it and how they was in the right path. Not only did Elijah have the right path, I want to say he had the right portion. Look what it said down in verse number 8. Verse number 9. It said this, "And it came to pass when they went over, and Elijah said unto Elijah, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Now, how many of you in here tonight, if I could say, if God was in here and he said, "You can have anything you want," what would you ask for? Think about that. What would you ask for? Would you ask for some material thing that's going to burn up, or something that's not going to last very long, something that moth and rust is going to corrupt? Or, you know, what would you ask for? Would you ask him for something spiritual? I began to think that in my own life. I said, what would I ask for, God? If you come here and say you can have anything you wanted, what would you ask for? I'm not going to answer what I answer. But think about that. I'd rather have something spiritual. Let me tell you what, this thing of this life is very frail, and this thing is very fragile. And the things that we have that we count so much that we treasure can be taken away just like that. The older I get, the more I see that. The more I see people saving up, the more I see them. And there's nothing wrong with saving up. Just don't let it have you. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you this, when it becomes your God, it's in the way. And let me tell you what, God would have us to have up, he'd ask, have us to ask for spiritual things. Look what Elijah asked for. He said, and Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." You say, well, I thought he probably would ask for Elijah's power. Elijah had a lot of power. He knew at Mount Carmel, he called down the fire from heaven and consumed the burnt sacrifice. He knew all that stuff. And he said, if you could have one thing, what would you ask for? He said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I wonder if our kids downstairs said, I want a portion of his spirit that he's got, if he saw me. I'm preaching to myself tonight, teaching to myself. He said, I want a double portion of the spirit. I want to say this, not only did he have the right path, he had the right portion. He had the right place in his life. Elijah had the right place in Elijah's life. Look what he said in verse number 12. He said, and Elijah saw it, and he cried this. Look what he said. He didn't say, my preacher, my preacher. Look what he said. It's very interesting what he said. He said, my father, my father. You know what he called him? He said, it was just like my own daddy. He was his spiritual father. Let me try to explain it this way. You remember Paul and Timothy? In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 2, it says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. We all know Paul was not Timothy's father physically. Let me tell you what he was. He was his spiritual father. Let me tell you what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about following the man of God. He counted that he was his father, and whatever he said he'd do, and he'd submit to that authority. And he'd watched it happen, and he watched it. Every little thing that Elijah did, Elijah was there. If he turned to the right, Elijah was turning to the right. He followed his man of God. Elijah couldn't get away from him. You know what I want to do tonight? I want to follow my man of God. I want to be right there. When he turns to the right, I want to be right there in sync. When he turns to the left, I want to be right there in sync. If he goes forward, I want to go forward. If he says stay still, I'm going to stay still until he says go forward again. I want to follow my man of God. He had the right place in his life. He said, my father, my father. You see, the devil will tell you, preacher don't love you. I know how this thing's worked. I've been in this thing long enough to know that he'll let you say, my preacher don't love me anymore. And he'll try to do everything he can to get you out of here. Let me tell you, that's a lie. The devil's a liar and he's the father of it. But let me tell you what, Elijah said this. He said, I don't care. I'm going to follow my man of God. Don't matter what he's facing, no matter what he's doing, I'm going to be there. I want to say this tonight. Remember I was talking about old Moses and old Aaron and Hur had his hands up and had him, you know, where it stayed and as Israel prevailed in the battle. I began to think about faithfulness to that. God been faithful to anybody? You want to know what the best way to show your pastor you love him? Be faithful. It's more than just sending a text. It's more than just be a call. Be in your place. Be in the right place at the right time. We know when we're meeting, you want to know how your pastor loves you. He looks around, he sees you. The devil, for some reason, I don't know, he's got this little detector that he puts in preachers. He knows who's not here. He can look out there and he knows who sits there and he knows who sits here and he knows who sits here. And a lot of times when he prays, he can see where you're sitting on your pew. And he prays by pew, down through the line, down through the center, down through the side. He knows he was in the right place. Elijah saw Elijah and he said that, my father, he had him in the right place. A lot of churches don't have their pastor in the right place tonight. And let me tell you what, they're going on the way down because of that. And the fear of God closing and shutting the doors because of that. We ought to have our pastor in the right place. Elijah had him in the right place. He said, my father, he followed his man of God. Number two, he fetched the mantle of God. Not only did he follow the man of God, he fetched the mantle of God. Look down at verse number 13 right here. Look what he did. The first thing he said is that he took it up. We know Elijah got caught up in the whirlwind. His mantle was his authority. It was a garment that they would wear. It was something they would take around, and they'd have it around their neck. You know what? When Elijah got caught up, that mantle fell off. And Elijah had a choice. You know what he could have said? He said, I don't want to take it. He could have walked off and never done this thing again. He had all those prophets watching him to see what he would do that was there with him at Jordan when Elijah smote the waters and they walked through on dry land hither and thither. And those prophets were watching Elijah to see what he would do. You know what he did? He picked it up. It's very spiritual, isn't it? You know what you're going to have to do to carry a mantle to another generation? You're going to have to pick it up. It's work to carry this mantle. I wish I could get up here and say it would be easy to carry your mantle. And it would be easy to show your youngins how to stay strong. But let me tell you, it's always going to be work. You say, what happened to him? Turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter number 19. You see, the first time he got that mantle, it was placed upon him. The second time, he had to pick it up. 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 19. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, that's where you find Elijah wishing that death would find him. He was discouraged. I'm talking about the daddy preacher here. He was discouraged. He was down. He was out. Oh, Ahab and Jezebel had run into death. And he was under a juniper tree. Let me say this. God has people out there for us. And God had Elijah waiting for Elijah. And Elijah saw him. He's out there plowing with 12 yoke of oxen there in verse number 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went with the 12th. And Elijah passed upon him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done unto thee? And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let me tell you what, when we first find that mantle and we have Elijah on the scene, it was cast upon him. It was placed upon him, signifying that Elijah would call this man, that God had his authority, and he's going to pass it down to another generation, and he picked Elijah out of the crowd. But you find him over in the other place. See, I remember my call to preach. It was easy when I first started preaching. Now I have to work for it. You say, what do you mean by working for it? You see, I thought it would be easier to be a preacher, but let me tell you, I think it gets harder. It gets harder and harder. Let me say this. Elijah did this. See, first of all, when that mantle is placed upon you, there can be no limitation. See, there's a call that went upon that guy, Elijah's life, and there was no limitation. He had everything that Elijah had. I want to say, secondly, not only was no limitation, there was no hesitation. There can be no hesitation. You see, he took it up. But look what he said he did. He said, let me go back and kiss my father and my mother. Let me say, with serving God, there has to be no hesitation. You see, if you hesitate, some people left out of here this morning lost, and they hesitated. I was talking with Brother Lee in the prayer room. You know what kills? You know what? Why people are leaving this world and the hell is larger than itself? Because of procrastination. Let me tell you this. There's also people that are sitting here that's got the call of service and they're hesitating into it. Let me say this. I hesitated for 3 years before I accepted the call to preach. 2009, I can remember God dealing with me about preaching. 2010, Brother Dean McNeese preached a message right here, and he said, there's preachers sitting all around this building. And I was sitting right there in my pew, and knowing he was calling me the whole time for 3 years. There's got to be no hesitation. You say, what do you mean? I hesitated. I wanted to make sure my calling was sure. But let me say this, I hesitated, I think, a little too long. I should have went ahead whenever he was dealing with me about it. And I did later on, but I paid for it. I think God said, I'll say this, God said that for 3 years, you wait on me, now I have to wait 3 years on you, is what he's given me. No hesitation. You see, Elijah said, let me go back. And Elijah says, what have I done unto thee? He said, you can't have no hesitation. Not only that, he said, there'd be no reservation. Look what he did to those 12 oxen. He said, he burned them up. You know why? He said, there ain't nothing he can go back to. You see, this call to service, and this is what a missionary can do. I thought about Brother Josh when Brother Ken mentioned his name this morning. I thought about him in the Philippines. There has to be no reservation. You see, when he went over there, he left it all. And there's been men and women that have left everything they've known to serve. I'm talking about a call to service. They left everything they've known for this thing right here, the Bible. It has to be no reservation. He's got nothing to go back to. He fetched the mantle of God. Would there be anybody in here tonight that would reach down and pick it up? You see, I remember back when we was downstairs, I remember a man by the name of Monroe Wiggins. I never heard him preach that much. I remember going, I think one service, I think Brother Ken even preached at his church one time. Back years ago, and I remember they invited him over here to the men's fellowship, and we went downstairs, and I remember that old man of God preaching. That old man of God left a mantle somewhere. And let me tell you what, this is up to us to who will pick it up. For everybody in here, there's a mantle that's fell off some dear saint of God. And it's up to us when we pick it up. You see, it was placed on Elijah, but when it came down to the right time, and it came down to the end of the day, and when that thing fell off Elijah, you know what he had to do? He had to make a choice whether or not he'd pick it up. He fetched the mantle of God. Not only that, I want to say this, he focused on the method of God. Look back in verse number 13. I want you to see what this... It took me a while. God showed me this. I never had seen this. And look what he did in verse number 13. He said he took up the mantle also of Elijah that fell from him. And look at these next three words. And went back. He focused on the method of God. You say, what did he go back to? He went back to doing what his daddy preacher was doing. The first thing he did is he went back to those waters. Look back in verse number 8. Look what Elijah was doing in verse number 8. He said he took his mantle and wrapped it and together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. And so they went over on dry ground. Guess what Elijah did? Verse 14. He said, and he took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what he did? He went back. He focused on the method of God. He went back to doing what his daddy preacher was doing. He didn't try to change the message. He didn't even try to change the method. He went back and did exactly what his daddy preacher was. He went back to God's work. He went back to God's way. He did it exactly like his preacher had showed him how to do. And there was nothing wrong with that. He focused on the method of God. He went back. Let me say this. He figured that if it worked for his preacher, it would work for him. If it worked for all the preachers across... You see, it'll work for us today. This old King James Bible. No need to change in Bible. I want to say this while I'm talking about this. The King James Bible is written in the English language. You know what the easiest language in the world to learn is? Guess what? I know some of you think you're very smart, but the easiest language to learn is English. God has preserved His book in an English, King James 16:11, that'll stand through the time, that'll stand through the ages. Elijah said, I'm not going to change what's been working. He said, I'll just do what my daddy preacher was doing and I'll continue on. And he focused on the method of God and he did it exactly like he saw his daddy preacher doing it. And not because he thought his daddy preacher was right, because it lined up with this. And it was doing exactly what God had told him to do. And I'll say this, and I'm closing down. He followed the man of God. He fetched the mantle of God. He focused on the method of God. But I want to say this, he finished with the right motive of God. What was his motive? I remember when we was in Bible college, and they had us write down some things. They said, write down what all you do at your church. And I began to write down, you know, some things I did. And he said this, what is your motive? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Why will we carry this mantle to another generation? Why will we suffer with it? Why will we do it? Why will we take the risk? Why will we do? We will take the load of the burdens of the people and take it to another generation. What is your motive? Is it pride? Is it popularity? I wrote down a bunch of these. Is it prestige? Is it pride? Is it power? Would you do something out of need, opportunity, or guilt? You see, those are all the wrong motives. You see, this thing, I'd be failing as a teacher to let you know that there's not a Bema seat awaiting for us. There's a judgment seat of Christ. I wouldn't be doing my job as a teacher to not let you know that there's a Bema seat waiting for every Christian. You won't be judged for your sins there. Let me tell you what you'll be judged for. You'll be done what you've done on this earth. See, I'm not working to be saved. I work because I am saved. You see, I'm not got this thing. I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm as good as there if I were to die today. But it's up to me what I'll do. It's up to me if I choose to carry this mantle to another generation. You see, this mantle is falling off of preachers around this country day by day. And some have carried it well. And it's up to us where we'll carry it. You see, that mantle fell off Elijah. And he had to pick it up, and he did it. Let me tell you what. There's some wrong motives. I began looking at this. Look in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 10. It's a very good verse, very interesting verse. Hebrews 6 and 10. And don't ever forget this verse right here. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me say this, God's writing it all down. So don't worry about what other people... You say, what's the right motive? Do it out of love. You say, well, I'll do it because I want to. Sometimes your want to is going to be broken. Sometimes my want to has been broken. Sometimes my alarm clock gets off at about 5 o'clock in the morning and God says, go pray. Sometimes I don't want to do it. My want to's might be a little broken. But let me tell you this. Out of responsibility, I'll do it because I love Him. You say, I'm not doing this for my pastor. I'm not doing it for my assistant pastor. I don't do it. I do it because of him, but it's not my whole motive. Let me tell you what, I do it because I love Christ. What's your motive ought to do? It ought to point to Christ. And I said all this to say this. Look at Elijah. Turn into, and I'm closing down. I got a couple more things I want to say, but I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 13. Why do you think Elijah finished with the right motive of God? It's found in 2 Kings chapter number 13 and verse number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 13. Here we'll find Elijah. Yes. 2 Kings chapter number 13, verse number 20. Here we find the death of Elijah. You say, how do you know he finished with the right motive? Look what it says. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, verse 20, and Elijah died and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood upon his feet. Let me tell you what, that man's legacy lived on. You see, all these men that's preached all these messages, I thought about old D.L. Moody. I thought about old Charles Spurgeon. You say, they're dead, but let me tell you what, they're still living. There's still people using their material. There's still people preaching their messages. There's still people that are doing that. And by that, what they did, they're making Christ live in other people. His motive was right. He died right. A man got cast into his tomb and he stood up because of Elijah had a life in him even though he was dead. Let me tell you what, Christians don't really die. I don't know if you know that or not, but we don't really die. We're going to live forever. Let me tell you what, Elijah had the right motive. And I began to think of this. And I may preach a message one time on no names in the Bible. No names in the Bible. You see, it ain't all about them. It ain't all about having a position. It ain't all about having a prize. There's a bunch of people. There were some no names in the Bible. I'll give you two examples right here. Y'all remember in John chapter number 6, there was a little lad there. The disciples, they had 5,000 people there, and the disciples was trying to figure out how much money they could squeeze out of their pockets to see if they had enough money to buy any loaves of bread. And there was a little lad there that had 5 barley loaves and 2, the Bible says, small fishes. That means there's very little in my eyes. That means there wasn't enough that their fishing store wasn't very big. It done got down like that. He had 2 small fishes. Nowhere in the Bible you'll see that little boy's name mentioned. Let me tell you what, if you're reading that in that chapter, in chapter 6, verse number 35, that's where you find that Jesus is the bread of life. You'd have never known that Jesus was the bread of life if there hadn't been a little lad that didn't have a name, but he's able to give himself of what he did have to the Lord and let him use it. The second example, there's a little maid. It's found over in 2 Kings chapter number 5. And there was an old prophet down there, Elijah. And she said this. She said, I know where you can get some help. Remember old Naaman the leper? Old Naaman was full of leprosy. And he didn't know what to do. And she said, I know a man. I know a man. And Elijah came to him. So you got to go dip down in Jordan 7 times. And he did. Naaman went and dipped down 7 times. And when he rose up the 7th time, his leprosy was gone. This is what Naaman said. He returned to the man of God, Elijah, and said, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. You'd have never known that if it hadn't been a little maid. Didn't have a motive, didn't care about a prize, she didn't care about a position. She said, I know a man who can. I want to be somebody that don't have a name. But I can say there's a man up there sitting at the right hand of the Father that can meet every need of anybody that's ever... He's able to take your case, the hardest case, the smallest case, the littlest case, and he took my case. Thank God we have somebody that's there at the right hand of the Father that can meet our needs. Elijah had the right motive. I was reading after one man. I'm closing down. This is what he said. He said, Elijah watched Elijah's miracle. Elijah wore Elijah's mantle. And he said this, Elijah walked with Elijah's master. And he ran a good race. What will you do when the mantle falls on you? I'll turn it over to my pastor.